Radio.
Hi there, this is Keita Spock. I'm your host for today's show, and with me is a gentleman by the name of Tom Brandon, and he's the author of Mr. Brandon's School Bus, What I Heard on the Way to School. Now, Tom has been an educator for many years at a small rural school in North Alabama. He's worked with kids as a teacher, coach, and bus driver, and has served on a number of education advisory councils. His awards include Teacher of the Year at his local school, the Coca-Cola Always Teaching Award, and the Steve Harvey Neighborhood Award. Welcome to the show, Tom.
Well, thank you for having me.
That's great. You know, and it's a very interesting bird's eye view you have about kids, being on the bus with them as their driver. Very, very interesting. What I wanted to ask you, Tom, because you've been on the side of being the driver, how was it when you were a little boy? Did you ride on a school bus when you were small?
I did. I lived in a little small rural community in Oklahoma, and our bus routes were rather long. So the main thing I remember when I was real little was just getting on the bus and leaning up against the window and going to sleep and spending my time that way. The only other major thing I remember one time riding the bus was being a little small rural community. Our bus was turning around on a rainy day and ended up getting stuck in the mud on the country roads. And the bus driver, for some reason, I was the next closest house, and so he put me off the bus because of no cell phones then, but he put me off the bus, and I was one chosen to run down to the next house in the rain and call the school and let them know that we were stuck in a ditch.
you were like a bit of a hero.
Well, I don't know about a hero, but I knew I got to go on. After I made the phone call, I got to run on down the road to my house.
Yeah. Listen, did you enjoy riding school buses?
Oh, it was just an everyday, it was an everyday thing. I guess you didn't really think about it. It was just how everybody got back and forth to school, and so you just kind of took it for granted that's what you did.
Yeah, so you never at the time when the little boy went, boy, I want to be a bus driver when I grow up.
Oh, heavens no. I don't think that ever really crossed my mind at all until it just happened. So it wasn't planned anyway.
Yeah, usually kind of things are pretty serendipitous, aren't they? Go ahead.
I actually ended up driving the bus just strictly because of what had happened was at our school, I was also, the little small school I was at, I was the coaching staff, and they took our older kids and moved them to a new school further down the road. And I chose not to move with the older kids down to the new school and coach down there. I chose to stay at the smaller school. And because of my coaching job being eliminated, I decided, well, I'll pick up something else besides the teaching. And there was a bus driving job open, so I decided to do that.
Yeah. As I say, it's interesting how these things, one thing leads to another. And so you made that choice. Now, it's obvious from what I've said of you earlier in introducing you, Tom, that you've been very involved in the school system in various roles, and you've just referred to a couple of them as being the coach, as being the teacher, and then the bus driver. Tell me about them in terms of what you found most enjoyable or significant. Was there any one that you truly enjoyed more over the other?
I don't really think you could say that you enjoy one more than the other, because each one of them just kind of gives you a different insight to the kids. You know, in the classroom, that's more of a formal situation, and you're spending a lot of time instructing and dealing with them and helping them to make progress in their studies, and that's more of what you think of as the formal role that you spend time with. Then as a coach, you get to know your kids really well because you're spending a lot of extra time after school with them, and you're in those situations where you actually have some bonds that you are able to develop that you can't in the classroom because you're in situations where, you know, you're in winning situations or losing situations, both, which bring, you know, bring people together close as a team because you're sharing some very emotional things.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
yeah.
then as a school bus, you know, as a school bus driver, it's very informal. And, you know, what do all of us do when we're riding down the road in the car? You know, we sit and chat with each other. And so
sure.
going down the road, you know, the kids are there and they're talking to one another or they're talking to me. Usually I get called in as an arbitrator on a lot of arguments because of, you know, they expect the bus driver, he's going to be the authority on all things. So they go to him for that. So I don't know that I could say any particular one of them was my favorite. I just enjoyed every aspect of being able to work with the kids in those different capacities.
Yeah, I can really appreciate just from the way you're describing your various activities as a teacher, as a coach, as a driver, Tom, that you really love being with kids. That's great. Now tell me, how do they see you? Did they see you more of a teacher? Did they see you more of the driver? Did they see more of the coach, Tom? Or did that evolve among the kids as well?
Well, that just kind of evolves. It just the only kids who are not real fond of it particularly are the children that you pick up. And when you pick them up, then when you drop them off to school, then they've got to spend the day with you in the classroom. And then you take them back home also. So they don't get a break from you all day long. The other kids are in the other grade levels. They're okay because they're with you first thing in the morning, and then they're not interacting with you per se during the day, and then in the afternoon they see you again. But you know, the ones that are actually in your classroom that you pick up, because the
yeah.
first thing, you know, they know they get on the bus, and the first thing the bus driver asks them is, "Did you get your homework done today?" Because he's also your teacher. It's not always a good thing.
Yeah, they can't get away with anything, can they?
No, not
yeah.
really.
Listen, tell me what grade levels you teach.
Well, I've taught fourth grade, fifth grade, and sixth grade. Probably over the years, I've probably taught more in the sixth grade, and I actually have a little bit of time in just about all grades from kindergarten up through sixth grade, in that I actually took a couple of years where I worked as a computer teacher, and what I did was I actually taught every single grade for an hour or so each day. So I've had a little bit of experience with all of them, but probably most of my time has been with the upper elementary kids, fourth, fifth, and sixth.
Right, and that's a great age. They're just so curious and they're eager. But in one way, I was going to ask you as well, Tom, are you the only male teacher at the school, or are there others? Is there an even number between men and women?
Well, it varies from time to time. For the most part, the elementary level is mostly women, and I guess probably at the most that we've had at our school at any one time would be two male teachers, counting myself. And there's been some times where I'm the only male teacher in our little community school.
Go ahead, Tom.
But what kind of makes our community, the little school that I'm with, is that it's such a small school, and I had been there at that school for 30 years, and so being such a small community, I've taught their moms and their dads and their aunts. You know, by the time I retired, I had taught their moms and dads and aunts and uncles and their cousins, and so you know everybody in the family, and so that also helps develop a relationship because you know their families.
Right. How special is that? And there's that is so rare these days in terms of one person being in one spot for so long and having such an incredible impact on the school and on the community. Let's move now to something a little more specific. We're going to be taking a break soon, but I wanted to ask you this, Tom. There's a little guy by the name of Miss Mucus who figures pretty prominently in your book. Was he one of those kids who grows on you?
Well, let me start out by letting the listeners understand that usually in my writings, I don't I don't refer to any of them by their real names. And some of the nicknames that I have for them are nicknames that I actually call them by. For instance, I have a little girl on my bus that I always call Francine, but that's not really her name. It was just I didn't know her name, and one day I was trying to get her attention, and I said, "Hey, Francine," and that was the first name that came out of my mouth, and she looked at me, and I said, "Yes, you, Francine." And so from there on out, she was always Francine, and I actually met her mother one day, and she said, "She answers Francine at home better than she answers to her own name now." So now Mr. Mucus is not particularly never called Mr. Mucus that to his face, just in the writings. But obviously was a little kindergarten boy, he was that little boy that we all know that just always seemed to have the little runny nose and always seemed to be sniffing and wiping his nose, and so when I was writing, I just ended up calling him Mr. Mucus in the writings. But I will say by far that he has turned out to, over the years, to be my best buddy. I've known him since he was in kindergarten. He is in the fifth grade now, and I've picked him up and hauled him to school all these years, and he most definitely has played a prominent role. A young man of unbelievable imagination, and just such a good spirit. Anytime you meet him, he's happy, he's smiling, he's excited about just everything. And if he's not, if ever you picked him up on the bus and he wasn't happy and excited, you knew he was sick and he wasn't feeling good. But he really has. But like I said, I would have to say he's my best buddy, and I think the feeling's mutual, is that we've had a good friendship over the years.
Now, listen, the kids call you, before we go for our break here, Tom, do they call you Mr. Brandon?
Well, some of them call me Mr. Brandon. Some of them have called me Mr. B. And my wife always says that you can tell when I had students by whether or not they refer to me as Mr. Brandon or Coach Brandon or Mr. B, depending on what years it was in my time at the school.
Right. Very, very fine. Listen, we're going to take a quick break, and then when we're back, Tom, I'm going to probably ask you about Charlie and a little fella called the Hot Pickle Boy. We'll be right back.
Okay.
The alchemy of kindness is one that we believe. When we reach out to each other, you know we both receive.
Hi, I'm Bruce Crammell, one of the original hosts on A Kind Voice Radio. My song, The Alchemy of Kindness, is about the good things that happen when kind voices come together. What you're about to hear is a message from Claire Bloom, who is using her kind voice to feed hungry children. We hope that you'll help Claire with her mission and make our world a kinder, more connected place, one act at a time.
Hi, I'm Claire Bloom. In 2011, I started End 68 Hours of Hunger in an effort to overcome childhood hunger right here in America. There are more than 16 million children in America who are hungry. Between the free lunch they get in school on Friday and the free breakfast they get in school on Monday. And what we know is that if we feed these children on the weekend, they can achieve 50% higher reading scores, 30% higher math scores, and are twice as likely to successfully complete the third grade, which is a primary indicator of high school graduation. To find out more, I'd love for you to be in contact with me. We have a website at www.end68hoursofhunger.org, or you can email me directly at end68hoursofhunger@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks.
A Kind Voice Radio.
I'm Keita Spock. I'm your host for A Kind Voice Radio, and we're back with Mr. Tom Brandon. He's the author of Mr. Brandon School Bus, What I Heard on the Way to School, and we've been talking about some of the little people that he's been driving on a school bus in his days as a school bus driver in Alabama. Now, Tom, we were going to pick up here with two of your other little fellows by the name of Charlie and Hot Pickle Boy. I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about these two characters.
Well, Hot Pickle Boy is—he's as all of them are. He's quite a unique young man. Usually what happens is that they end up getting their nickname because of something that they've done or said or acted. And Hot Pickle Boy picked up his name when one day he was explaining to me that we won't go into any detail, but he was explaining to me what his mama's hot pickles would actually do to your digestive tract and to what they had done to the dog's digestive tract. And after describing that to me, the next day he showed up. After he finished describing that to me, he said, "And if you want to, I can bring you some." And the next day, as I pulled up to the bus stop to pick him up, he actually had a quart jar of hot homemade pickles in each hand waiting for me at the bus stop. So,
Try those pickles, Tom?
Yes, I did, and they would do exactly what he said they would do to your system.
He was accurate in his description.
he was exactly accurate in how they would affect your system. He is as all these little young people are. Like I said, it's a rural setting. He's about as, and I don't mean it in any mean way, but he is a very country young man. He talks real slow. He doesn't get in a hurry to tell you anything. He just takes his time and is not worried about anything. He likes spending his time hunting and fishing and really, you know, school is kind of just an inconvenience. It's something that he does because he has to. If you gave him a choice of would you rather just spend all your time hunting and fishing or going to school, I think he would pretty much choose the hunting and fishing.
That kind of thing. That is really fine. And
he's,
Charlie,
he's,
and what, where does he fit in this?
He's just another one of those little ones that, you know, they each and every one of them, they want some kind of, you know, the thing is that I try to tell people is the things that they come to you and that they talk about, and he being one of them, is sometimes it's hard to keep a straight face because the things that they talk to you about is to them are major problems, major situations, things, these big problems in life that they're dealing with and they're trying to find a solution to. And as adults, we listen to them, and inside you're really just to yourself, you're really just snickering and laughing, thinking about what it is that they are concerned about, and then to try to give them advice on solving these problems. I know one day I had two young men on the bus. They were and it was towards Valentine's Day, and one of them, and you have to understand, these were like little second grade boys, and one little boy was talking about he thought for Valentine's that he might try and give his girlfriend a kiss, and but he was concerned because he had never done that before and he wasn't really sure if he knew how. Well, his buddy on the bus gave him his advice. He said, "I had that problem." He said, "I practiced kissing the stuffed deer head that my dad has hanging on the wall." So I'm assuming that they got their problems all worked out and taken care of. I've never really passed on that advice to anyone, but if you're a second grader, I'm assuming it sounded like sage advice.
Right, and I'm hearing this very, and I'm nodding my head, Tom. Nodding my head. Now, before we go on, because I wanted to see how else, or what the best piece of advice you've received from your little groups of students on the bus, but I wanted to balance the interview out because I've mentioned all these little boys, and I haven't mentioned any girls, and I wanted to, our listeners to know there are some mighty fine little ladies in your book too, Tom. Can you share with us perhaps a story or something about one of them?
Well, let me share one. We had talked about their nicknames. I had a young lady as she was as people were getting off the bus. She was sitting close to me. And as they were getting off the bus, the ones that I actually do call them by their nicknames, such as Francine, and there's another little girl who I always refer to as Sharky because she has a favorite shark T-shirt that she likes to wear. So I would just always call her Sharky, and she was happy with that. And so different ones I'm addressing as they get off the bus. And yet I always had called her by her name. Well, I didn't really think about it. And as I pulled up to her house, she looked at me and she said, "Mr. Brandon, how come I don't got a nickname?" Well, I didn't understand. I had not known that I was, you know, leaving her out of something special in her life. And I had just always called her by her name. She said, "Well, I want a nickname too." And so I said, "Well, what would you like?" And of course, I'm looking at her thinking, what could I call her? Because she, for most of the time, she is a very nicely dressed young lady with you know, the latest in dresses or the latest in fashion. And occasionally will wear a pair of blue jeans and a nice shirt. But most of the time, dress what you would think as the frilly little girl would dress for a first or a second grader. And I'm trying to think, what would I call her? And before I had a chance, she said, "I want to be called Tex." And which was not exactly what I would have pictured, but from then on, she was Tex. So I've always said, you never really know what lies inside. I said to somebody, "You really don't know what's inside of somebody." I said, "It may be a dusty old cowboy," and for her it was. So she wanted to be called Tex.
Isn't that something? You're just discovering these wonderful, wonderful jewels amongst these little boys and girls. How wonderful, how wonderful. Now, amongst these jewels, and you've offered already some information, Tom, and that some of these young wards of yours have offered you over the years, but I wanted to focus on perhaps what the best piece of advice you've received from a child riding your school bus. This may be a tough question for you.
It really is. Probably there's a couple that come to mind. First of all, just in general, one of the things that I have really learned from the kids over the years is, you know, there's so many things out there that we take for granted as adults that to kids are just fascinating. It's just things that are new to them that they explore and they see every day, and it's gotten to be old hat to us as adults, and we don't give it that much thought. And yet when they see it and they explore it for the first time, it's really good to be able to see the excitement. And then it kind of helps you to remember how special those things are that you've been taking for granted. Just the everyday of them just exploring the world that's around them and seeing things for the first time and hearing things for the first time. And you have forgotten how special that was the first time that you heard it or saw it or experienced that. And so you really are able to see that with these kids. For instance, I had a young lady, and we actually turned this into what we called a holiday at our school that we were doing annually. Was I had a young lady one day was getting off the bus. And as she was getting off the bus, the other kids had been complaining because it was one of those days, you know, they were going home. And, you know, the first thing you want to think of is, what am I going to do when I get home from school? Mm-hmm. The problem was that day it was one of those days where it had turned off kind of gray and it was raining. Mm-hmm. And so there were a number of complaints coming from the bus about, oh, it had ruined their plans. They were going to ride bikes. They were going to go outside. They were going to do this. They were going to do that. And now they weren't going to be able to. But about that same time, I stopped to let a little girl off, and she looked at me, and she just smiled as big as she could, and she said, "You know, I love the rain." And she got off the bus, and on going up the driveway to her house, she stopped, and she would just spun around in about three different little circles. And I said, you know, to me it was the idea of, you have to understand, there's beauty in everything, and there's even a beauty in a rainy day. Even if it's not what you planned, there's beauty in that day. And so we actually had mentioned that everybody's day is better if every once in a while you take the time to twirl, and that if you want to twirl by yourself, that's fine. But if you'll twirl with other people around, that gives you something to smile about, and them something to smile about too. So, but it's just, you know, life can be exciting regardless of what's going on. And then my buddy Mr. Mucus, he kind of summed it all up to me one day. We were discussing, and he got on the bus, and we were talking about some different things about what was going on in his life and what was going on at school. And he kind of just sat back in the seat, and he looked at me, and he said, "You know, Mr. Brandon, we just need to sit back and enjoy the ride." And so I think that just kind of sums it up, you know, that if all of us could do that from time to time, if we could just sit back and enjoy the ride that we're going through in life instead of being so continually stressed with everything that's going on or what we think is going on most of the time.
Right. I am so glad that you are in your school, Tom Brandon. You have such a wonderful, whimsical, and sage way of talking and of really, really letting us know how important kids are and what their lives are for us as adults. It's lovely. And on this
Thank
note, I'm just delighted that you've been able to share some of these just wonderful little anecdotes.
Well, thank
and
you
there's
very
so
much.
Many more. Oh, well, thank you for being
with
us today. Now, one more thing. This book, we've got to get Mr. Brandon's School Bus, What I Heard on the Way to School. Tom, please tell us where we can buy your book.
Well, you can get it directly from the publisher, which is New South Publishing, which is in Montgomery, Alabama. You can get it from South Publishing in Montgomery. But you can also get it at all. You can order it through any of the major bookstores, such as Barnes & Noble or Books A Million, and it's also on Amazon.
Yes, I was going to ask. So Amazon.com.
Right, you can, and you can get it either in the paperback or you can do the up to date, and you can get it on your Kindle or Nook or any of your electronic things. So, but they should be able to get it in any of the bookstores, and if it's not there, then the bookstore can order it for them because it will be in their warehouse. So.
It'll be in the inventory.
Right.
There. That's wonderful. What a splendid, splendid book, and what a splendid man you are.
Well, thank you very much.
And
thank
so
you.
we're gonna close this program, and I have had the absolute pleasure of speaking with Tom Brandon, again, author of Mr. Brandon's School Bus, What I Heard on the Way to School. And so we're gonna close off A Kind Voice Radio and what kindness there has been in exchange today. Thank you. I'm Keita Spock.
Fellow soldier, how's your day? Come take my arm, let's walk and sink away.